Tonight we're going to talk about fruit. You know, some fruits I just dearly adore. Some fruits I don't care for. I'm not going to tell you which is which. But everyone likes good fruit. But have you ever gotten a package of fruit or a box of fruit and there be one rotten piece in the bunch? And it has been there for a while and it has literally ruined the entire box. Isn't that sad that that has happened? There's nothing appealing about a rotten piece of fruit, is it? It smells bad, it attracts flies, and it is something that we just simply do not care for as we go to eat whatever is in that box. You know, in several times throughout the scripture, reference is made to fruit. That the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the tree, fruit that we are to produce as Christians, and that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. I want us to take note of what God makes an application to fruit in our lives. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Let's read this together. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, the Lord is speaking here about how important it is that the fruit that we bear is the good fruit and not the bad. You know, Paul gives us a good list of the fruits of the Spirit, and so does the Apostle Peter. But we want us to take a look at Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law, Paul says. Now, this is the kind of fruit that we are expected to bear as Christians. Now, you may say, you know, you can walk all over the world and you're going to find a lot of people who are not Christians that love, people who are joyous and people who are at peace, and they're kind and they're good, and that may be very well true. You will find people like this that are not Christian. The only problem is sometimes you will find people who claim to be Christian who are not like this. We must be sure that we put into our lives these fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit has given us the desire and the command to put this type of life within ourselves. Now, so the question is, are we producing this kind of fruit in our lives? Because as Christians, we should all be bearing fruit. And it should not be fruit that turns rotten and begins to smell. It should be fruit that is fresh, fruit that is helpful, fruit that is good, fruit that is worthy of Christianity. So tonight, for the next few moments, I want us to take a look at some of the properties of the fruit that we should present in our lives as children of God. And the first word is we need to produce. That is a command from God that we produce fruit. You know, when you go to the grocery store to buy fruit, what section do you find it in? Produce. It's the same word. We say it a little bit different when we go into the grocery store. We say produce. But we're producing, and this is being produced by the fresh plant, and it's the same thing. Produce. We are to produce something that comes from nature, something that is nurturing. Fruit of the Spirit is produced by the one that is led by the Spirit. As Christians, we are to produce that fruit that is led by the Spirit. Several passages of Scripture bear this out. Galatians 5 and verse 16. What say then? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, right after Paul gives us the lust of, or before he gives us the lust of the Spirit, he gives us a list of the lust of the flesh. Absolutely opposite from what we should have in our lives today. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He also says in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Of course, he's talking about the old law, which now the Christian is not under. We're under the new law that will allow us to produce fruit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, if we're going to walk in something, we are going to emulate that in our lives. We are going to become these things in our lives. So basically, we're going to become loving people. We are going to become joyful people. We are going to become peaceful people, long-suffering people, kind people, good people, people who are full of faithfulness, people who are gentle, people who practice self-control. All of these things that Paul has given us, we're going to put these things into our lives, and we're going to live them every day of our lives, thus producing good fruit, and walking in the Spirit, which leads us to put this fruit into our lives. We are to live in the direction according of the Spirit-inspired gospel that has been revealed to us. The gospel gives us the Spirit with which to live. Paul said in Galatians 3 and verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you deceive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? You know, we gain our fruits of the Spirit through our faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's true that there are people who are not Christians who may be kind and they may be loving and they may have joy in their lives, but it's not Christian. We are to put these Christian attributes into our lives. So, through our faith, are we giving God what he is looking for as far as fruit? Now, Galatians 1 verse 11, Paul said, but I want to make known to you, brethren, that the gospel was preached by me, not according to man. In other words, he is preaching the Spirit. He is preaching fruit of the Spirit. And it didn't come from man. It came from God. So that which we put into us is something that comes from God. The only way that we can bear spiritual fruit is to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 15 verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears fruit, much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Now we talk about bearing fruit and putting all these great things into our lives. It's not going to happen unless we are in Jesus Christ. We must abide in Christ, which means we must abide in his word, which is given to us through the Bible. Good fruit should be produced in our lives through what? Through our obedience to the gospel of Christ. It is through our obedience that puts fruit into our lives. And it is something that others should be able to see. Other people should be able to see our tree and notice that our fruit is precious. It is ripe. It is good. It is hanging from the words of Jesus. And they know that when they look at our lives. So we must produce this fruit within ourselves to be pleasing to God. And then next, we must identify with the vine. You know, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. There's two parts here. There is the main source, and then there are those that are added to that. Just as the fruit identifies itself with the plant, the fruit of our lives identifies itself with who we really belong to. Now, you know, again, we can go back And we can read before the fruits of the Spirit, we can read of the fruits of the flesh. The flesh does not abide in Christ. The works of the flesh does not abide in Christ. Only the fruits of the Spirit. And we are going to produce one of those two in our lives. We just need to be sure that we are producing the right thing. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." It is through our fruit that we are recognized as with our Christianity. Bearing fruit is the mark of our Christianity. Now, the question is now, do people recognize us for our fruit? When we walk down the street, when we communicate with one another in general, do people understand this must be a Christian that I'm dealing with? Because he's so loving, he's so kind, he's so good, he lives a peaceful life, and all things are well with him. Do they see that when they're looking at us? That's the mark of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we must have within us. Paul tells us in Galatians 5 and verse 24, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire." That means, my friends, we have put away the works of the flesh. We have, which was a part of us at one time, is no longer a part of us now. We've done away with it. And we have put in its place these fruits of the Spirit. Now, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, he said, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but according to the will of God." So, if we're going to have produce the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to be because we have decided to live according to the word of God instead of the will of man. The fruit that we bear identifies us as being a part of Jesus Christ and not of this world. When we see an apple tree, what do we expect to get from that apple tree? Apples. When we see a peach tree, what do we expect to get from that peach tree? Peaches. Wouldn't you think it odd that we get pears or watermelons from a peach tree? Like to see that, wouldn't y'all? Yeah. What kind of fruit should we have from this tree? This is the Christian tree. Jesus is the vine. We are that which grows on the vine. We are expected to see the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, maturity. We have to understand that for anything to survive, it must mature. You know, we don't plant an apple tree and expect ripened fruit to show up the next day, do we? Sometimes with a fruit tree, it may take 3-5 years. Peach trees will take 5 years before it will grow its first fruit. I don't know if I've told y'all this story before, but when we built our house in Alabama, I wanted so bad to have a fruit tree in my yard. My in-laws had a pear tree in their yard. Did they have an apple tree too, or was it just pear? I think they had both. And I wanted a fruit tree so bad. So I go down to Lowe's. I'm going to buy me a fruit tree. So I bought me a pear tree. And I brought it home, and it was a beautiful thing. We got it inside of our car, and that was a funny thing. We had the roots of it in the front seat, and we had the back part of the tree sticking out the rear window. And we were driving down the road with the tree in our car. Got it home, I planted that thing, and it began to grow, and it was absolutely beautiful. Ooh, it just developed the most perfect shape, and it was growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm going to get some good fruit out of this. Well, 1 year goes by, tree is growing, no fruit. 2 years go by. That tree is growing now. It's a nice big tree. It's about 15 feet tall, almost this big around the root, the trunk of it, and I'm getting no fruit. 5 years went by. That tree grew to be about 30 feet tall. It was beautiful. It spread its branches in such a beautiful way. Not one single piece of fruit came from that tree. And I began to wonder why I'm not getting fruit from my pear tree. So I did a little research and I found out that Lowe's don't sell fruit trees. They sell Bradford pear trees. Bradford pear trees do not grow fruit. So I wasted 5 years of my time trying to get fruit out of that pear tree. And you know, I was almost happy. I was so irritated at that tree because it didn't get me fruit. A few years later, and this was after we had moved down here, we drove by our house in Alabama just to see what it had looked like. And the wind had blown that tree down, and I felt so good about that. But it was a beautiful tree, but it was not going to give me any fruit. But the point is, it does take time for fruit to grow. I had an uncle that grew peaches, and it took him four or five years for peaches to start. And when it did, man, we had peaches galore at our house. My mother would make peach preserves, and she would freeze it, and we would have peach cobbler sometimes at night and through the wintertime when you don't get good fresh peaches, and it was so good. But it takes time for that to happen. You know, we're encouraged as Christians to grow and to mature as Christians. Paul used himself as an example of this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." You see, Paul knew there has got to be an element of growing to take place. For our Christianity to become what it needs to become, we have got to allow ourselves a period of growing and developing. And we must develop according to a certain way. And that certain way, of course, is according to Christ. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God." In other words, we've already done that. It's time to move on. It's time to be better today than we were yesterday. Now, can you look at your Christian life and can you honestly say that I am a stronger Christian today than I was yesterday or last month or last year? Or do you find yourself beginning to maybe stagnate, stand still, or maybe even take a step backwards? We all need diligence, and we must take that patience as we grow to be what our faith tells us to be. You know, this word diligence and patience, it's a two-sided coin. Diligence means a determination to grow, a determination to mature and to be better in ourselves. Patience is for us to understand it takes time for us to reach that level. Now, some of y'all in this room have been Christians 50 plus years. I'm one of those. I would like to think that I'm a stronger Christian today than I was in March of 1974 when I became a Christian. I would like to think that. And I do hope that you can look at yourself in the mirror and find yourself to be a stronger Christian today than you were the day that you became a Christian. I'm not there yet. I still need to grow. There is still some elements of maturity that I need to put within myself. And every one of us have to look at it this way. Because what happens to the branch that no longer grows? It dies. It dies. If our branch is broken off of a vine, that branch is going to die. We cannot allow that to happen to us. patience and understanding. It takes time for us to do this. You know, we wouldn't cut down that newly planted fruit tree if it didn't bear fruit within a few days. It's not going to bear fruit within a few days. It's going to take time. You know how many times I wanted to cut down that Bradford pear tree that I had? I didn't cut it down, though. I let nature take care of that in its own way. No, we would nurture that plant. We would care for that plant so that it will ultimately bear fruit. And the same is true with the Christian. It takes time for the new Christian to grow and to be what he or she needs to be in the church. And you know, sometimes I think it's one of our greatest failures as congregations of the Lord's church. We have a new Christian just baptized into Christ. And we expect that new Christian to be able to act like we act, to have the maturity level that we have. And he can't, because he hasn't grown to that point yet. So we set that person in the back row of the church building, and we say, okay, you sit there and you watch us, and you can't do anything. And we never help them develop. We never help them be what they need to be. And what usually happens to that person? He leaves. He goes somewhere else, because he's not getting that the care and the nurturing that he needs as a new branch on the vine. You know, by bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we're literally showing Christ to the world. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to us in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, that's what we're all about. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, to become blameless and to become harmless. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We have the ability to overcome that evil with our light. We have the ability to walk out into this nasty world that we live in and show Christ for others to see. And we must have the fruit to do that. So the question is, are you bearing fruit today? I'm going to tell you, yes, you are bearing fruit. I don't know what kind of fruit it is, but every one of us in this room is bearing some kind of fruit. So what kind of fruit is it that you are bearing? Is it good, ripe fruit? Or is it rotten fruit? We need to understand this, that as individual Christians, or as we as a congregation of God's people, we inherit a reputation based upon fruit. The fruit that has been seen in the past, the fruit that is being seen now, and even the fruit that we hope that we will see in the future. So again, what kind of fruit do you bear? Christian, if you're not bearing good fruit, you need to change your life. You need to rededicate your life. Come back to the Lord and bear precious fruit for God now. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, you have no fruit to bear. A fruit-bearing life can only come from being a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, we invite you to give your life to Him tonight so that you can bear fruit throughout your life and give God the glory for it. What kind of fruit do you bear? Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.